Mary, did you know? That Mark Lowry song has become a staple of the Christmas season, hasn't it? It's really not all that old, but it seems timeless. Its haunting melody and the soaring climax has helped to give that song a power and a memorability that, like I said, it's almost timeless at this point. And yet every year I see and I have to laugh at memes that are posted online by people who rail against that song. And it's because they see it as bad theology. Because, of course, Mary knew who her baby was. An angel of God told her. Now, I used to be in that camp, but I've kind of come to reconsider it, because perhaps the question, Mary, did you know, isn't really posed to Mary for her sake, but for ours. Because consider something we do. When we learn something surprising or unexpectedly good, or, well, unfortunately, for those of us who are prone to gossip, we'll do it when we hear things that are exceptionally bad. But how many of us have been in such a hurry to share our findings that we'll grab a friend and say, "Hey, did you know? Hey, did you know that the price of gas dropped overnight? Did you know that so-and-so are having a baby?" And so on and so forth. And, you know, it's not that we're assuming everyone is in the dark. It's a way of beginning a conversation about a topic or of expressing our own wonder or joy at some news that has come our way. Because we just have to share it. And that's how we do it. It's a rhetorical thing that we do. Did you know? And so to my friends all over who get riled up about the theology of Mary, did you know, I want to suggest a different mindset about it. Because maybe the singer of the song isn't asking Mary if she was actually aware. But rather, maybe the singer is so amazed by the truth of who Jesus is that this is their way of sharing that news. Because from our scripture today, I can tell you definitively that Mary knew exactly who Jesus is. The answer to the question, Mary, did you know, is yes. But a more important question is this. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? Let's look to chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke to see who Jesus is. And to remember just how amazing this child who was born at Christmas is. So amazing that when we really understand who he is, we'll want to ask the world, "Hey, did you know? Did you know?" Again, we'll be in the first chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning with verse 26 this week and reading through verse 38. So while you're turning, will you stand together as you're able in reverence for the reading of the divinely inspired Word of God? Once again, this is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We know that every word of Scripture is inspired and is profitable for us, for our growth, for our correction, for our conviction, to bring us to Jesus for salvation. Lord, I pray that you would work through your word today. We know that your word doesn't return to you void. So, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, work among us today to solidify our understanding of who Jesus is, to fill us with awe and amazement at who Jesus is. And, Lord, if there be any here today who do not yet know Jesus, I pray that today may be the day that by your Spirit you draw them to yourself. Convince them of their need of you, and bring them to repentance and salvation. Lord, have your way among us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we find here that 6 months after Elizabeth conceived John the Baptist, an angel comes to visit a young woman named Mary. And this young woman was betrothed to Joseph, but they weren't yet married. Now, Joseph was of the house of David, but it's interesting to note that Mary was also. Matthew 1 and Luke 3 both detail Jesus' lineage, and yet they're different. But Luke's gospel focuses so much on Mary. If you read it, it's different. The focus is almost entirely on Mary. And even in the lineage in Luke, he says that Jesus was the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. This kind of indicates that Luke recognizes that Joseph is not the birth father. And being a physician, he continues to recount the lineage that he knows to be true, that of his mother. So we see that both Mary and Joseph are descended from David. Mary is descended from David's son Nathan, while Joseph is descended from Solomon. But in any case, at this point, Mary is unmarried, and the angel Gabriel comes to tell her that she will have a son. And this seems impossible, seeing that Mary's a virgin. Even Mary herself asks, How can this be, since I do not know a man? Well, I tell you what, today that question still plagues the world, as there are so many people who just refuse to believe that this biological impossibility could occur. There are still those who want to disprove everything that the Bible says because of that one point. They refuse to give way to the possibility of an immaculate conception or a virgin birth. But friends, Gabriel reminds Mary and us that nothing is impossible for God. Amen. Nothing is impossible for God. So she tells her what she is to name the child and what kind of child he will be. Now keep in mind that Mary is a faithful Jew, and as a faithful Jew, Mary would be familiar with the Scriptures. Now as a woman, she may not have had the opportunity to study the law in depth, as do some of the men, but all Jewish children were taught the history and the basic tenets of the law and the prophets. So just by virtue of being from a faithful Jewish family, Mary would have been far more familiar with the Scriptures than most of us are today. So given her understanding of the Scriptures, while Gabriel doesn't tell her everything that the child will do in intricate detail, he tells her enough for her to understand exactly who this child is. That's why a few verses later she says, Henceforth all generations will call me blessed. If this were a normal child, yeah, her family might call her blessed throughout generations and then, you know, several great-great-greats down the line. If it's like today, most of us kind of forget, right? But she knew, henceforth all generations, all families of the world will call me blessed. It's because she knew. She didn't understand why she was chosen, but she understood what she was chosen for. After all, Gabriel did pretty expressly say that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That tells me quite a lot, because this child is the Holy One. There is only one Holy One. In 1 Samuel, we're told, no one is holy like the Lord. The child who will be born is God incarnate, the Holy One. But just in case we don't capture the breadth of meaning in that, let's review the lyrics of that popular song to see just how the scriptures informed Mary of who her child would be. And maybe at the same time we'll be reminded, or even more fully understand for the first time, who Jesus is. And maybe with the Spirit's help, we'll get so excited that we'll have to go to the first person we see and say, hey, did you know? So Mark Lowry starts his song and says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? What kind of question do you ask that to someone in passing? Well, see, while admittedly Mary could not have foreseen the exact circumstances and the actual event of Jesus walking on water, she knew from what the angel said that this child would be the divine God incarnate. And so from Scripture, yes, she knew that one day he would walk on water. Why? Because God walks on water. In Job 9:8, we read of God that he alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. In Psalm 77:19, the psalmist declares, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You see, I believe that it came as no surprise to Mary when Jesus walked on the water. And today, for us, that same act helps us to see who Jesus really is. He is God in flesh, because God walks on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Friends, yes, Mary knew that her son would be salvation to many. After all, she named him Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua and literally means salvation. When she was told to name this divine Son of God, Yeshua or Jesus, she knew exactly what he was coming to do. It's throughout the scriptures. In Psalm 14, verse 7, David cries out, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. That word salvation, it's Yeshua. Even that far back, David was waiting and praying for Jesus to come. With those words, he says, oh, that Jesus would come out of Zion. And Gabriel told Mary, he's coming, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Again, based on her familiarity with Scripture and based on what Gabriel told her, yes. Mary may not have understood exactly how all of this was going to work, but she knew that this child was coming to make things new. Gabriel told her that God would give this child the throne of his father David. That is an unmistakable allusion to the anointed Messiah, or the Christ, that God had promised to send. And the hallmark of Messiah's kingdom, according to the prophets, was the new covenant. In Ezekiel 11:19, speaking of that new covenant, the Lord says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. You see, friends, this is what happens to all of us. This is what all of us who were saved have experienced. born again or born from above experience that we talk about is the new spirit being given to us and giving us life. It is that spirit that exchanges our stony hearts for hearts of flesh that desire the things of God. When we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, He makes us new. That's why Paul says, "Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." But Mary knew this. She knew that Messiah would bring a new covenant. Faithful Jews looked forward to that time, even if they didn't quite understand what it would look like. You see, the problem isn't that they didn't believe Messiah would come. It's that they didn't believe Jesus was Him. They didn't know He was the one. But Mary did. Yes, she knew. And he says, "This child that you delivered, did you know that this child you delivered will soon deliver you?" In Psalm 18:2, in the hymnal of the faithful Israelites, we read what Mary must have sung many times in her young life. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Later that same psalm reads, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." See, with her people, Mary had spent all her life looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise to His people to send Messiah. And Isaiah, among other things, depicts the Messiah as one who will deliver. He says He will set free the captives and proclaim liberty to the bruised. You see, Messiah would be a deliverer. And so hearing from Gabriel that her child would inherit the throne of David forever and that he would be called the Son of the Most High, would it really be surprising to think that Mary realized that her baby would be that Messiah that would come to deliver her and her people? Why else would she rejoice the way she did? Her response later in chapter 1 is more than simply joy of having a child. She says about the Lord, "He has helped His servant Israel." She says, "He has helped all of my people." Not just me, all of my people. "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers." See, yes, Mary recognized that this child she had been called to deliver would soon enough return the favor. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? In Isaiah 42, the prophet speaks the word of God regarding the one God calls my servant, whom I uphold, and my elect one in whom my soul delights. Now, obviously, this is about Messiah. And in verses 6 and 7, God says of His Messiah, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes." Oh yeah, Mary knew. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with His hand? Once again, this type of miraculous display would be unheard of and unfathomable for any mere mortal. No one would expect a normal man to be able to calm a storm or cause the winds to obey him. But Jesus was no normal man. And Mary knew this. He was the Son of the Most High, conceived within Mary by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. He is the Holy One who inhabits an eternal throne, the Son of God. Gabriel told her this much. And so would this be difficult for God? Of course not. In fact, it would be expected. Mary knew who her child would be, so she expected it. After all, Psalm 107, verse 29 expressly says of the Lord, "He calms the storm so that its waves are still." This child will be the Son of God. Of course he will calm the storm with his hand, because even when clothed in flesh, that's still what God does. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And that when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? Well, this would be a hard thing for anyone to wrap their minds around, wouldn't it? I mean, would anyone truly be able to grasp that this little baby has pre-existed in eternal holiness? And yet Mary had all the information she needed in order to understand this. She recognized, as we saw before, that this baby was the fulfillment of God's promise of mercy toward her people. She knew that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And yet again, through Isaiah, she knew that Messiah was divine in nature. Isaiah 9:6 tells us his name, saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Micah describes Messiah in speaking to the city of Bethlehem, saying, "Out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." You know, the only one who can match that description is the Ancient of Days, the Mighty God himself. Yes, before coming to earth, born as a helpless baby, the Son of God resided in the highest heaven, attended by holy angels. The little baby whose squishy face Mary must have kissed innumerable times, you know, like many parents do their babies, that little face was the face of Almighty God. Mary cradled her very Creator. And yet, as hard as that is to fathom, because she knew Scripture and because she believed what Gabriel had told her, she knew it to be true. And she says, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. That's the climax of that song. And yet all of these miraculous signs are messianic signs. They point to Messiah. They confirm his identity. In Isaiah 35 verses 5 and 6 say, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." In Zechariah 9:11, the Lord says, "Because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." The waterless pit, that's a euphemism for death. So the whole thing speaks of resurrection. "I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The dead will live again." Messiah will do all of these things and more. And so because Mary knew that her child is Messiah, yes, she knew he would make these things come to pass. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Well, again, these are marks of the Messiah. Solomon himself wrote Psalm 72 that spoke of Messiah's reign. In verses 8 through 11 say, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Mary was told that her baby would inhabit the throne of David forever. And Isaiah tells us that of the increase of his government there will be no end. So yes, this baby is the Lord of creation, with dominion to the ends of the earth and from sea to sea. And he will rule the nations as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even if she was unable to express it in words, in her heart, Mary knew. He asked, "Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?" See, Mary also recognized that this child was not just a fulfillment of the promise to David. In verses 54 and 55 of Luke 1, she says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Well, what was the promise spoken to Abraham and his seed, though? It was the promise of a kingdom, a nation, and that Abraham would be a blessing to all the earth. But this promise only became ratified after Abraham proved his faithfulness. See, Abraham was called upon to sacrifice his son, Isaac. So he took the boy and he prepared everything. And when Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb for the offering?" so great was Abraham's confidence in the heart of God that he said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Mary would have known this story well. And she would have been familiar with Isaiah's suffering servant who was consecrated fully to God for his own use. How Isaiah says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Though it may have been hard to understand in the moment, somewhere deep inside Mary had to have recognized that while Messiah would be ultimately triumphant, it wouldn't be without some travail and some suffering. You see, we could not deliver ourselves or save ourselves. We couldn't and can't cleanse ourselves enough to offer ourselves to God. God would have to provide for himself a lamb suitable. And that's what he did in Jesus. Jesus is heaven's perfect lamb, a spotless offering to God that came from heaven itself. And finally, he says, "Did you know that the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am?" Now, how does one process all of this information? I mean, how does one look at this helpless child in their arms and see the enormity of who this child is? And yet Mary knew, somehow she knew that this is God in the flesh. How did she know? Well, Gabriel told her the Holy Spirit would cause her to conceive. You see, no mere man could bring this to pass. In fact, no man could, because she was a virgin. She asked, "How can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" But I imagine that as Gabriel answered, a light bulb in her memory flickered. Again, a promise of Isaiah in chapter 7 that of all people, a virgin would conceive and bear a son. But this would be no normal child. The biological impossibility kind of necessitates that fact. But this child would be called Emmanuel, God with us. This child, born of a virgin, would be in every way human, but he would be God in flesh. The immortal, invisible, infinitely holy God would come and become mortal, visible, and be with us. Yes, Mary knew. For every question we may ask, Mary knew. She may not have foreseen the exact circumstances or the timetable. She may not have been able to articulate every point or express every idea. But in her heart, she knew. Because she'd received a message from God. Like we talked about last week, God had prepared the way. She knew the scriptures, and that prepared her to understand. But the bottom line is that she heard a message from the Lord, and she believed it. Yes, Mary knew who Jesus is. But as I said at the beginning, the better question, the more important question is this: do you know who Jesus is. Yes, Mary had the benefit of scriptural training and then the big bonus of an angelic announcement. You know, when you see a holy angel appear before you, it kind of gives a no duh kind of credibility to what you're being told. But for the questions that Mark Lowry asks in his song, we understand that Mary knew all of those things because she knew Jesus was God in flesh, the promised Messiah. He was the Savior. Even his name, Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. All of the miracles that Jesus did only confirmed for her what she already knew. But just as they were confirmations for her, they can be signs for us, pointing us to the truth of who Jesus is. Because who can walk on water? Only God. Who can give sight to the blind? Only God. Who can make the deaf hear and the lame walk? Say it with me. Only God. Who can raise the dead? Only God. And who can forgive and save from sin? Only God. Amen. Jesus did all of those things. That proves He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the anointed Holy One of God, that He is indeed God in flesh. And so maybe you ask how we can know that it's true. Well, friend, I know that it's true because He did it for me. He did it for me. When I was blinded to the truth and couldn't see how lost I was, Jesus opened my blinded eyes and let me see. When I was deaf to the call of the righteous judgment of God and couldn't hear His mercy calling me to repent, Jesus unstopped my ears and let me hear His voice calling me gently like a shepherd to his sheep. When I couldn't find the words or the will to be thankful or to offer worship to the one who is worthy, Jesus filled my heart and opened my mouth to sing His praise so that I could sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Jesus did that. When I was dead in sins and trespasses, when there was no spiritual life in me, Jesus raised me by the power of His Spirit to live again and to walk in newness of life. He made me new. I'm not what I once was. He is still making me new because I'm not yet what I one day will be. He delivered me. He saved me. In 1986, He saved me. And even now, He is saving me. And when one day I shed this body of flesh, He will save me for eternity to live with Him forever. I may not see Him walk on water, but I've seen the Lord do the impossible in my life. And when the storms of life rage around me, more than once I have gone to Him and found refuge. The storms may still rage outside, but He calms the storm within my soul. And I rest in Him. I know it's all true because He's done it for and to me. And if you don't know Him today, He can do the same for you. So you and I may not receive an angelic visitor, but like Mary, we do receive a word from the Lord. He speaks to us. He calls us. It's the only way we can truly know who He is. Jesus said, "No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draw him." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That voice, which at the same time is louder than an orchestra, but softer than a spring breeze. Speaking to us. Convincing us of our need for a Savior. Drawing us to look to Jesus. Showing us that it's all true. He draws us and shows us who Jesus is. So here's the thing. Mary knew. But what did she do with that knowledge? She surrendered to it. She wasn't married yet. The road she was about to take wasn't going to be an easy one. Being found pregnant and unmarried was not going to be easy for her, and we'll just leave it at that, okay? And yet, knowing the difficulty she would face, she also reckoned the great privilege that would be hers. She counted the cost and said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." In other words, she surrendered and said, "I am your servant. Have thine own way, Lord. You are the potter, I am the clay." So again, the question, friend, do you know who Jesus is today? Is the Holy Spirit drawing you, convincing you of your need and of who Jesus is? Do you know? How will you respond? Because you can rebel. You can be stiff-necked. And truly, I get it, because it can be difficult to release one's pride. And after all, just like with Mary, life with Jesus is not guaranteed to be easy. I don't care what some of the preachers on television tell you. Life with Jesus is not guaranteed to be easy. Actually, the opposite is true. Jesus said, "In this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." It won't be easy. But if you rebel, here's the thing, you also miss the great privilege of belonging to the one who created you. You missed a great blessing of being His. If you miss salvation, you've missed everything that matters. You'll come to the end of life and realize that you can't take anything with you, that everything was vain. And if you've missed salvation, that you've missed everything. So if the Lord's calling you, will you surrender today and let the Lord have His way? There's not a special prayer to pray. It's all a matter of just surrender, of recognizing who Jesus is and trusting Him and His plan. Would you do that today? And if you know the Lord today, if you really know who Jesus is, who are you telling? Who are you telling? You see, that's really the point of the song. It's just told from a unique perspective. Because we ought to be so amazed by who Jesus is. And yet for so many of those who profess to be His, He has become commonplace. The mystery of the divine incarnation has become ho-hum. How is that even possible? We should be so amazed by the reality of who Jesus is that we're asking everyone we meet, "Hey, did you know?" Maybe in the future when we hear that song, let's look at it in a different way. Let's ask the question differently, because Mary knew. The Lord had spoken to her, so she knew. But has the Lord spoken to you? Do you know? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know Jesus? And what's more, does He know you? Ponder that as we sing a final song this morning. I want to invite you, if the Lord is dealing with your heart in any way, to follow His leading. Seek Him for salvation if you don't know Him today. Either here, our front is open, kneel down at the place where you're sitting. Go find a Sunday school room. Find some place that you can be alone with the Lord and just surrender to Him. Do that today. And our altar area is open if anyone needs to come forward for any reason. Seeking for salvation, praying for whatever. Just follow the Lord as He leads today. Let the Lord have His way. Would you stand for a word of prayer? And then we'll sing. Lord Jesus, we stand amazed at the truth of who You are. And Lord, I look at all of these biblical stories of miracles and supernatural occurrences, And Lord, it just boggles the mind to think about it. But what is even more mind-boggling is that truth that if I look back on my own life, I could see that you did all those things for me. And so, Lord, I thank you for your mighty power in my life. I thank you for saving and delivering me. And Lord, I thank you for saving and delivering everyone here who professes the name of Jesus, who has truly been saved. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with such amazement and astonishment at who you are that we couldn't help but be out in the community and say, hey, did you know, to everyone we meet. Lord, that shame and political correctness and all of those things that keep our mouths closed would just not even be an issue, because we're so overpowered by the joy of knowing who you are that nothing can keep us quiet. Lord, may we bubble over with the good news, empowered by your Spirit within us. But Lord, I also pray for those among us today, maybe here in this sanctuary, maybe listening online, that don't yet truly know who Jesus is. They've heard the stories, Lord. Maybe they're familiar with the scriptures like Mary was. But they've not yet heard you call to them. Lord, I pray that today might be the day that you give them that word from the Lord to confirm for them who you are. And Lord, I pray that like Mary, they will surrender to you and allow you to have your way, to make them new, to deliver them. Lord, I pray that today may be the day of salvation for someone who will come to really know who Jesus is today, and who will allow you to really know them. Lord, have your way among us. Work in hearts and minds. Lord, you know where each of us stand and what each of us is in need of in terms of our growth, in terms of our sanctification. You know the will and desire you have for each one of us. So Lord, I pray, work in and among us. Make us all willing vessels yielded to your work among us. Help us, Lord Jesus, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father. We know who you are, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we give you praise. And we offer ourselves to you, Lord, and surrender as much as we are able. And Lord, where we don't have faith, help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.